Good morning, Waynesboro Bible Church. This is Brother Zach Savitsky. It is Saturday evening, January 30th, just a couple of hours after the elders and deacons decided that we were going to cancel our services for Sunday morning on the 31st due to both the inclement weather as well as the many individuals in our congregation who are continuing to suffer and struggle and work their way towards healing with the coronavirus. And so I just wanted to get a little message out on the air for those of you who have access to the internet that we can still gather together spiritually around the Word of God, even though we are physically distant. I did want to share a few announcements with you this morning, and we'll try to get this information in your hands in some other way as well. But first of all, I just wanted to let you know you are listening to this online, so you probably already are aware, but the church did set up an email group that we've been using very frequently to share prayer requests and just other announcements and notifications that are going on in the church. If you are not receiving that church email group, please reach out to me, let me know. You can call, email, text, just in some way, shape, or form, let me know or let someone who knows me know, and we'll get you signed up. So that's the first thing. The second thing I wanted to let everyone know is that we have decided, as a leadership of the church, to change the schedule going forward for the next season because of how we're a little short-staffed in terms of leadership help, with Pastor Darrell still in the hospital. Donnie Shockey also down and out from the virus and still healing, but a slow healing process. We've decided to change the regular weekly schedule a little bit. We are going to still continue to meet weekly on Sunday mornings for Sunday school and our worship time, and we're also going to continue to meet Wednesday evenings for our prayer time. But we did make a change that on Sunday evenings for going forward for the foreseeable future, we are not going to be meeting. So again, that's going to be going forward through February. For the foreseeable future, our Sunday evening gathering times will be postponed. They're going to be canceled for this time. Right now, the men's prayer group is also not going to meet, and the women's prayer gathering that has been meeting on Tuesday mornings, that's going to be postponed for the first week in February, and that is scheduled to regain the second week in February, which I believe is the 12th of February, if I have that correct here. Excuse me, let me correct that. The 9th of February. The 9th of February. So this is just our regular weekly changes. Monthly meetings, everything is still going to be business as usual. We do have a church board meeting scheduled for the 8th of February. There's a missions committee meeting that's scheduled for the 14th. The ladies' fellowship time and Bible study is still scheduled for February 12th. As always, if you have any questions, please call me. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. And we will try to keep you apprised of any changes. I know it's been a very tumultuous season. Things have been changing very dramatically, rapidly, and so we want to get the information out in front of you any way we possibly can. And so we will reschedule the meeting with Sean Coffey, the informational meeting on Viper, Kentucky, that was supposed to be taking place tomorrow evening, the 31st, but we'll get that rescheduled, and we'll let you know as soon as we do so. And so for our time this morning, I just want to read a brief passage of Scripture, spend a little bit of time in prayer, and then share a few devotional thoughts with you. And so for our Scripture reading this morning, I picked a few of my favorite verses from the end of the book of Habakkuk. How we hope in the Lord, even when the cloud cover comes in. This is Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, And the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Heavenly Father, my prayer today is that we would be able to agree in our heart of hearts and say yes and amen with this blessed word. That we would say, even though the world may seem to be falling apart around us, Lord, yet we will rejoice in you, because you are our joy. You are the God of our salvation. You are our strength. You are our refuge. And that is our peace. And that is our hope. And we look forward to the day that we will be with you forever. And Father, we pray for the world that's going and all the issues that are going on in the world around us, Lord. Pray first and foremost for our church, for the ministry at Waynesboro Bible Church, Lord, that the name of Jesus would be lifted high in this place. That we would grow in wisdom and in stature and in knowledge of who you are and who you desire us to be. And as we grow and we see you more fully, it would work out a change in our heart. As we pour into the Word and we desire to see you in truth, it would necessarily and naturally change us from the inside out. And our lifestyle would change as we naturally put off the sins that entangle us and put on the righteousness and the holiness that you direct us to in your word. We ask this, Lord, that it would be a witness and a lighthouse for the community of Waynesboro, that your name would be lifted high and glorified. We pray for wisdom for our church, to know how to walk in these last days. We know the political climate is all over the place right now, Lord. We do ask for unity in our country. And we pray for the spiritual rebirth of our leaders, that they would come to know you if they do not already. And if they do not know you, Lord, you would open their eyes. And you would grant them new life. And they would run full-heartedly after you. We pray for wisdom in the cultural environment, Lord, that we would know how to give a reason for the hope that is in us. That we'd know how to speak with love and with grace and with truth, combining those all into one. That the world would hear our message and say, there's something different. And that there would be many opportunities to lift high your name in this upcoming year. We pray for growth for our church family, not only in quantity, but also in quality, that there would be a steps forward taken towards continued maturity, to perfection, to completeness, that our church would know peace. Not only personal peace, but the peace that comes from Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. That we would have hope. Hope in our rock and our fortress. And that hope would bring conviction. That one day we will be with you, and we will see you, and we will at that time be made like you. We know there have been many physical needs in our church over the past season, Lord. We first of all thank you and praise you for those who are healed or on the mends, who are feeling better, who have had issues with the COVID virus. We We thank you that Roxanne and Ken Lear are feeling much better and are back on their feet. Faye Stauffer, Alan and Judy Benchoff, Lois Rock. We know there are many issues that our beloved still face, but we just thank you that at least some of these trials are behind and that we can move forward in some way. But of course, there are others, many others in our congregation who are still struggling. And I'm sure there are many outside of our immediate body as well, in our community, who are greatly overcome with the issues of this virus, Lord. But of course, our heart is breaking for our dear beloved pastor. We ask in a special way that you would encourage him today and strengthen him and help him to know that you are with him and you will never leave him nor forsake him, and that you're in control even of this. We pray for our elders. We pray for Brother Donnie, who's also unwell. We just ask that you would lift him up, that he would have hope and strength. Pray for Yvonne, who is also continuing to heal from this virus. Pray for some of those outside of our body. Brother Bruce Dick, a dear pastor of the fellowship who's been struggling greatly. Pastor Steve Sheldon is also struggling. Many others, Lord. Many others. We just need your hand to come in and to touch and to heal and help us to see, Lord. Help us to know that you are in control. We know it in our minds, Lord. Help us to know it in our hearts as well. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for the gift of technology, that even though we're apart, we can still, in some small way, we can still gather together. Thank you for that blessed opportunity, Lord. And now as we turn our eyes again to the Word of God, I just ask that your name would be praised. Glorify yourself in this hour, Lord. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. My jumping point this morning for our topic, I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 6, just going to read the Lord's Prayer, and then I'll pray for us, and we'll go in. So starting Matthew chapter 6, Jesus prayed like this. He says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, I thank you again for the ministry of prayer. Thank you that you have called us into your throne room, commanded us to come before you with confidence and grace, to find help in our times of need. That you've commanded us to call down your will from heaven. Move hearts today, Lord, not the least of which would be mine. Convict us of sin. Be glorified in this time, I pray. Lord, for your glory. Amen. So the topic at hand, as I mentioned, is the affections and prayer. In a time of our fasting and prayer, the Lord has led me to studying prayer from a book on Tim Keller. And really what caught my attention in the book is there's a section where Tim Keller surveys the early church fathers on their inputs on prayer. So he looks at St. Augustine, he looks at Martin Luther, he looks at John Calvin, and there's a wealth of knowledge there. But I wanted to share much of what I had studied, but for the sake of time, I'm only going to look at one man,
And I'm only going to look at a few of his points and really focus most of our time on the scriptures. And this morning, I'd like to talk about what St. Augustine says about how our affections and our heart tie into the impact of our prayer life. So, just two points he makes. They're basically both sides of the same coin. One strongly impacts the other. And so the first thing that St. Augustine says is that before we even talk about prayer, before we can talk about what to pray for or how to go about praying for it, we really need to become a particular type of person. We need to focus our emphasis on completely disregarding our lot in life and considering ourselves desolate or dead to the world. Like in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are those who have utter dependence on the Lord." He says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." He's not talking about those who are mourning because they're afflicted, or mourning because they're unwell. Because just because you're sick or afflicted doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be comforted. But if you are mourning for sin, if you view yourself as one who needs to be completely dependent on God, and you are broken for who you are before that righteous God, then you'll be comforted. St. Augustine's point goes on to say that we really need to recognize that the natural state of our heart is disordered, is flawed. Jesus speaks to this in Matthew chapter 10. He speaks like this. He says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life shall lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it." It's the same idea here, is that we need to become dead to this world, to the natural affections of this world. The natural affections of loving father and mother are good things. These are things that we are commanded many times in Scripture to do. The natural affections of loving children are good things. We're commanded to raise them up in a particular way so that they would come to know the Lord. And that's a loving thing to do. But Jesus' point is that there's a natural order of affections that if you seek, you're missing the point. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And at that point, all the things will be added to us. Even a man after God's own heart recognized that when he followed his heart, his flesh, the natural order that his heart wanted to proceed, and we see him fall strongly, right? David, man after God's own heart, definitely not a man without sin, but when he acted on his heart's impulses, we know what happens, right? He ends up laying with Bathsheba. She becomes pregnant. An innocent man ends up being killed. And in the end, David is broken by his actions before the Lord. And in Psalm 51, he prays, "The sacrifices of the Lord are a broken spirit." The Lord desires our brokenness, our contriteness, our realization of sin, our realization that when we seek our heart's desire, our natural heart's desire, we're gonna just make a mess of our whole life. And really, recognizing the disorder of our heart, recognizing that left to its own devices, we're gonna end up like David. This is really the key to unlocking the tension of two very very common verses to us, right? We have Jeremiah 17:9. We pull this one out all the time. The heart is deceitfully and wicked above, let me read again. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick, who can understand it? So we have the heart being being ultimately deceitful, right? And then we have Psalm 37:4, another very common verse. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But you see the tension, right? If the Lord is giving us the desires of our heart, and our heart is deceitfully wicked, how can he give us the desires of our heart? Just another verse along the side of Jeremiah 17:9 of the deceitfulness of the heart is Matthew 15:18. Jesus says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. So we're seeing the tension, right? So there's the disorder of the heart, that when we seek the natural things that the heart desires, we're going to sin. It, out of our heart is just going to pour sickness and disease. And so what do we do, right? The key is in delighting ourselves in the Lord. But to dive into that, really, Colossians 3 speaks to that so clearly. Right, the common passage to us about setting our minds on things that are above. The context here in particular in Colossians chapter 3, Paul is particularly, the context is speaking about how often we fall to human religion to try to build our way up to God, right? So just stepping back a few verses from chapter 3 of Colossians, where our common passage is, I'm just going to read maybe three verses before, starting in 2:20. Paul reads, if with Christ you've died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, if you are still living in the world, do you submit to its regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they're used according to human precepts and teachings. He says, these indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion, asceticism, severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. He says, your religion, your acts of self-discipline are not going to do anything in stopping your desire for sin. That's not going to work that way. But what does? What stops our desire of our hearts for indulgence of sin? It's Psalm 37:4. It's heavenly satisfaction. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Set your minds on the things that are above. Set your affections on that which is above. Because you've died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 3, 2 in particular says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Another context where that exact phrase comes up that the Lord just showed me, and I've never seen this before, but I just want to share it with you, is in Matthew chapter 16. Right after Peter, Jesus foretells of his death. And that he was going to be killed by the scribes and the priests and raised on the third day. And Peter takes him aside, right? And he rebukes him. Jesus is, I've never heard before, it's never sunk into my heart, Jesus' complete rebuke to Peter. He says, get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me. You know why you're a hindrance? Because you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. That's exactly what we just read in Colossians chapter 3. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth. Peter, the man to whom Jesus says, your name shall be Petros, and on your rock will I build, on this rock will I build my church. You're not setting your mind now on things that are above, but on the things of man. And now you're a hindrance to me. It even calls him Satan. So we, transform our minds, right? We don't be conformed to this world, but we be transformed by the renewal of our mind, that by testing we may be able to discern the will of God, which is our goal, which is our desire. It's to set our affections on the things that are above. It's to be transformed so that when we pray, our hearts are in line with the Lord's desires. Right, so St. Augustine's first point, just the first point, is we need to work at setting our affections on the things that are above. We need to meditate, to be the man who meditates on the Word of God day and night. We need to work to pull out anything that is drawing away our affections so that our life will be a natural outpouring of the heavenly affections that we share. So once we set our affections on the things that are above, once we we really work hard to have a right view of God, just like Isaiah in his calling in chapter 6, that he is before the throne of God and he sees himself as a broken man of a sinful people, which he is. He sees the holiness and the righteousness of the Lord, and he sees his brokenness, and he says, woe to me. That's where we need to start. And then what do we do? What is the second point of the coin that St. Augustine's trying to make? He says, what do we pray for after we've devoted ourselves to these affections? And he says, then we pray for what makes us happy. And this is the key back to Psalm 37:4, delighting ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. Because if we're delighted in the Lord, the desires of our heart are what makes us happy, is the Lord. Looking at David's prayers and the Psalms show us time and again what it's like, this man after God's own heart. Psalm 27, what does David want? Psalm 27:4, one thing I have asked the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He says, you, in Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the paths of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David just wants to be with the Lord. He wants to seek the Lord. He wants to gaze on the Lord. Another psalmist reads in Psalm 73, another one of my favorite psalms, says, whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We need to seek for ourselves, set our affections above, seek the Lord, be satisfied in him and him alone. Even Paul prays this way in his prayers for his churches. Very rarely do we see him praying for physical needs as much as he prays for the spiritual. He knows that's so much more value. In Colossians chapter 1, his prayer to the Colossians believers there, he starts off by saying that, ever since we've heard about you, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. That you would be filled with the knowledge of the will. You would be overcome with the knowledge of God's will. And in his prayer to the Ephesian church in chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, I should say, the great prayer there, he culminates it by saying that you would be filled with the fullness of God. Paul, I really think he's recognizing here the greatness of even, okay, so David wanted to be, his desire was to be in the presence of the Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to sit in the temple, and just to gaze at the Lord. Well, Paul is taking this and he's turning it around. He's saying, we don't even have the temple anymore. You are the temple. And the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, he says. Filled with the knowledge of his will. Comprehend the full love of Christ. And be filled with all the fullness of God as he dwells in you. So St. Augustine takes this and he brings it another step as we look through the Lord's Prayer. Of course, we pray the will of God to come down. We set our minds on the things that are above, but we live in a pilgrimage, right? We pray for daily bread. But the wisdom that he shows in how we pray for daily bread is just fantastic. How do the satisfactions of our heart and our affections tie into even something as simple as asking for sustenance and nourishment for the day? As his example of how to pray it, he recommends praying through Proverbs chapter 30. The verses 8 and 9. Let's read them here. Verses 8 and 9 say, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." I don't want to just skip over this lightly. The point in this passage is, first of all, the heart. Excuse me. First of all, the heart of the matter is that we're not desiring riches for the sake of riches. In fact, it's the opposite. Solomon, in his wisdom, recognizes that when riches abound, pride abounds as well. And the most important thing is the glory of the Lord. Let me just read some of this again. It says, "Just feed me with the food that is needful. Just give me what I need. I don't want anything more. I don't want anything less. Because if I have more, if I am full, if I am satisfied with something other than you, I'll deny you. Instead of praying how I should pray and say, 'What is man that you are mindful of him?' my heart's going to change. It's going to say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or on the other extreme, keep me from poverty, because if I become poor, if I need to provide for my family and I get overwhelmed and I steal, I will tarnish my testimony and offend your name. Profane the name of my God." Even in our daily bread, satisfaction on the Lord, to be full with his name and to be content with him alone, is the goal. Just as a final thought, I'd like to give my favorite example of what it is to be satisfied with the Lord alone from the Psalms. Probably one of my favorite Psalms by David, Psalm 63. I'll just read it and then end in prayer. I'll read most of it. I'm not going to read the whole Psalm, but I'll read from 1 to 8. David says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift my hands. My soul will be satisfied and it's with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help and in the shadow of your wings I'll sing for joy. My soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me. Father, thank you again for these words from your scriptures. I thank you that the more I look at the scriptures, the more I see the necessity of the affections to be in the right place, to color our lives, to be lives that are beautiful for you. And I think I come back to it so often, Lord, because I know that many times my life is not satisfied in you alone, but I chase after foolish other idols that do not satisfy. And you're calling me back to you. Pray for all those who hear this message and all those who will hear it later, that you will stir our hearts to a heavenly satisfaction, to be content in you alone, that you would revolutionize our hearts, you would help us to lay aside any burdens that we're clinging to that are not glorifying to you, and that you would use us to be kingdom movers, to bring your kingdom come through prayer and through our lives. Be glorified now this day, our Lord. We pray in Christ's name for your glory. Amen.